I have one word written on the board, is thorns. And no doubt, when you hear that word or read that word, several things come to your mind. I know for me it does. We could ask this question, what are thorns good for? I mean, really, think about it. Is there much good, much use for them? Well, there are a few, if you could say, benefits for them. Sometimes there's particular thorny bushes and shrubs that are used for boundaries, you know. Sometimes, along with boundaries, for protection, because not too many people or critters like to get caught in a thorny bush. And in some ways, too, it could be used as weapons. There's some thorns. If you've ever seen a hedge apple tree and got a hold of some of those thorns, they're pretty good size. And there's other bushes and trees that have good sized thorns. But the question could be asked, where did thorns come from? Well, ironically enough, the Bible does have the answer to that. And in Genesis, the third chapter, in fact, let's just read a little bit of that. Gives a little background of where thorns and briars and thistles came from. In the third chapter of Genesis, this is after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God was giving Adam and Eve their curses, basically, for their sin. And for the woman, he gave her curse. And then it goes down to verse 17, Genesis 3 and 17. And to Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so we have here the beginning of these pesky thorns and thistles that we know of today. And you could say it was almost why God gave that and why they multiply so easily and why they hurt when you get pricked by them. It causes pain, that it was as if it's a constant reminder of what sin will do to your life. It's a constant reminder of when a man or woman, either one, ignore the voice of God and heed the voice of someone else, whether it be another person or the devil, ultimately, through another person, then when we heed those voices, that's going to cause pain. But if we heed the voice of God, that's when we have life, victory, and so on and so forth. But here we have a thorn as a reminder of the pain of sin. Well, along with this curse came hard work. You men especially, women too, but you ever wonder why we have to work so hard to make money? Well, why can't we just sit back and take it easy and money will just kind of come floating by sometime, fall off the trees or whatever. But it doesn't work that way. God did not design us to get something for nothing. In other words, you're going to have to work for a living and work hard to earn a living raise a family, to exist. And you could say it this way. It's as if God knew in His wisdom that we needed to be kept busy to keep us out of trouble. That's really what it amounted to. You've heard the saying about an idle mind is the devil's playhouse or playground or whatever. There's different sayings like that. But you understand the point here. There's someone that's just idle, that's not doing much, just kind of lazy and slothful, and just hanging around. Those are the ones, more than likely, that get into trouble. But those that are busy working, trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet, that they're so busy and they're so tired when they get home at night, all they want to do is just take a rest, okay? So, God in His wisdom set this up this way. And I can't change this curse that God has put on mankind. And we have to deal with these thorns. And especially, we have in our audience this morning, there's several farmers and gardeners. And those that have dealt with thorns and thistles of various types. But it's as if the only cure for these things is to, first of all, mow them down or cut them down. Or if, especially if it's in mass quantities, just mow them down and cut them down, but then you have to continually keep on top of them. Or if it's just a few, dig them out by the root as much as you can. Sometimes there may be thousands of them, and you can't feasibly dig them out by the roots, so just mow them down, cut them down, and keep on top of them, and eventually they'll dissipate for a while. But leave them alone, and they'll come back again. And interesting enough, some of these seeds, we'll get into some details on one of these here in a little bit, but a lot of the seeds of these thorns and thistles, they'll actually lay dormant for months or years. And you think everything is just fine, and you don't have to tend to it anymore, and then all of a sudden, boom, one spring, they're back. Like, where'd those come from? Well, again, it's God's creation. He made it that way. And again, a constant reminder that sin can also, if not attended to, if not annihilated, if not cut down, it can continue to pop up if we don't stay on top of it by God's grace. Well, I want to pick on one thorn bush, shrub, whatever you want to call it, in particular. And how many of y'all are familiar with multiflora rose? I see some little smirks out there, and not such a pleasant name, is it? The multiflora rose. Well, interesting enough, multiflora rose did not originate here. It was actually came over from Japan and some of the eastern countries in the late 1800s, and was introduced to the eastern coast. They were using it more as a means of rootstock for cultivating roses, other roses. But that didn't work so well. But then they thought, well, maybe there's another use for these because they're kind of pretty and they're really sturdy plants, you know. And so then they introduced them here in Missouri and Illinois in the 1930s. As a means of, and it was the U.S. Department of Soil Conservation Services, they introduced it to these areas for soil erosion, to try to keep a handle on the soil erosion. And, it maybe worked for a while, but as we know today, multiflora rose has taken over, especially if you leave it unattended. It just wreaks havoc. It'll take over farmlands, just civilized areas in town, anywhere. It'll multiply and multiply, and it seems like there's no end to it. Well, so it got so bad that in the 1980s, the state of Missouri actually declared it a noxious weed and gave permission to any county to create their own law to enforce removal of these, if they so chose. So the point was, this multiflora rose started out as what they thought was a good thing, to control one thing over here. But over time, it developed and got out of hand, out of control. They didn't know what to do with it. I've had, no doubt, many of us can share some stories of personal experiences with multiflora rose. But here, we could ask the question, well, what is so bad about them? Well, let's consider, number one, say you have some prized farmland, and maybe 50 or 60 years ago, you're making bumper crops out of it. Well, it wouldn't take long, maybe 5 or 10 years, if there's a few multiflora rose bushes on some corners there, that if the farmer did not pay attention to those and just kind of, in other words, each year maybe cultivated a little less and a little less around the perimeters. Have you seen that happen before? I've seen it happen. And before long, the bushes, the multiflora rose and all these things, they start expanding and expanding. And maybe they leave the ground dormant for a few years to let it rest. And if they don't keep on top of the multiflora rose, it just spreads and spreads. And before long, they'll have a whole field full of it. And it's like, well, what's the use? We'll just leave that and we'll go on. Well, then, do you think the multiflora rose stops there? No, it spreads to the next field and on and on. Thistles do the same thing. But before long, your land value decreases. And then the farmers, well, he starts making less money because he just keeps moving around where it's easy to cultivate the land. Just, well, I'll leave those multiflora roses over there. And just keeps, and before long, he has no farmland left. And if he doesn't watch out, before long, he won't have anything to farm. And his family will go hungry. And so you think, well, is that a problem? Yes, it can be a problem. Let me read you a scripture. In Proverbs, the 24th chapter, God had a little insight of this too. You see, he set this up well. He knew that we needed to stay busy. And in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, in verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. You realize that's what can happen, that these things can actually overtake structures. I've seen barns and little homesteads that were left vacant. And the multiflora rose just took over the house, the barn, the sheds. And like, where does this stuff stop? And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, you can get so desperate just because of your own negligence and slothfulness that before long you're willing to take drastic measures to try to survive. You understand what I'm saying? And it's all because one little bush that you left in the corner thinking there's nothing to it. It's just a pretty little multiflora rose in April, May, and June. Yeah, it may be a little pretty on the surface, but before long, it's taken over by leaps and bounds if it's not attended to. Well, I want to tell you a little story. This is a personal experience. Years ago, when we first got married, I bought a piece of property down in Goodman, and it was 3 or 4 acres, and a good part of it was a big open field. And I remember when I first looked at it and heard the price, the realtor took me down there. I'm like, well, that's a pretty good price for this property. And I went down there and I found out why it was a pretty good price. It was full of multiflora rose. And I'm like, well, I've dealt with some of this before. I think we can handle it. And it took a lot of work. We finally cleaned it up and was able to stay on top of it by mowing it. But I had to hire a gentleman, a neighbor down there with a big bush hog and a tractor. That this guy, it was unbelievable. He would actually take the bush hog and back up and raise the bush hog up and just start chopping the multiflora rose. That was his only way. It was so big. There was nothing else to do with it. So he's chopping all this down and finally gets it all cleared out. Then I have to haul it off and then I have to continually mow to keep it out of there. But then later I started speaking with the neighbors. After we lived there a while, I started asking the neighbors, like, well, what did this used to be? And I was like, oh, well, several years ago, it was a really nice hay field. And they'd come in and they'd cut the hay and just, you know, it was a really nice hay field. And I'm like, well, what about before that? Anything else? Well, come to find out, it used to be an orchard. And I'm thinking, wow, they actually used to make money off of this land. But it was just left as is and unattended and became almost not quite worthless, but the value continued to degrade. Okay, so you see, that's what can happen in our own lives. It's so easy just to sit back and relax and do nothing. When we see a problem over there, like, well, that looks like too big of a problem. I'm just going to step back and I'll deal with the smaller one over here. But then that one gets bigger, and then, well, that one's getting a little big. I'll step over, and before long, you have no room left. And all around you, so to speak, is multiflora rose. And the value continues to degrade. Well, again, Lord help us to stay on top of the thorns in our lives. Tell you another story. This is more recent. The property we have now, I remember when my grandfather owned it, he kept it well manicured. And but I've noticed that especially the hillside behind us, is rather challenging to bush hog. But I try to keep on top of it, at least bush hog it once or twice a year. But there was one year I did not bush hog. And I want to tell you something. To this day, I regret it. Why? Because the briar bushes started popping up. Just 1 year going without bush hogging, they started taking over the whole hillside. And I remember seeing photos years ago when my grandfather owned it, and it was just the prettiest green grass. Nothing taken over up there. He kept it well manicured, and I'm thinking, oh my, if he was to see this now, he'd probably roll over in his grave. But the point is, I was negligent 1 year, and now it's a struggle to keep on top of it. But here's another interesting fact. Looking at those old photos and looking at the condition of it now, do you realize that as some of those bushes around the perimeters have continued to grow, it was harder to bush hog around the perimeter. So each year, I just kind of maybe back off a foot or two because it was easier. You see what I'm saying? And before long, now look at it, and it's big borders of just thickets and briars and everything around the edges. I'm like, this used to be a bigger field than this. But the point was, I was negligent even in just a little bit. Each year, like, oh, it's insignificant, not a big deal. Just a few inches or a foot or so. And so 1 year, I said, okay, I'm going to get on. So I start going way. I try to take over that. And you know what was interesting? Underneath that I started chopping down that, there was no grass. It wasn't pretty. I'm thinking, oh, my. But if I kept on top of it, it would eventually start seeding grass again. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that amazing how God made creation and then in nature to where if you take care of it, so to speak, it'll take care of itself. God will do His part, but we have to do our part. So that was a rather painful lesson to me about the borders. But then there's another story, and I've talked to Mike about this. His property joins my property. And I've noticed a couple of times, there was once or twice that I remember, that I saw a little thistle in the little ball field there next to his field that he actually bales hay with. And I just mowed over it a couple times. Wasn't really, I let my boys mow too and along the perimeter there and wasn't really paying attention. But a few weeks or a month or so later, guess what I saw popping up in Mike's field? Some thistles. I'm thinking, oh no, that was because of me. I blew the grass and the seeds over there and the air took it over there. And it's not only affected me, now it's affected my neighbor. And you realize that that's what happens in life, that it doesn't just affect your own little sphere. If we don't deal with the thorns and the thistles in our lives now, it's going to grow and grow till it's out of hand and we feel out of control and we can't do anything about it. And then it starts going over to our neighbors, our loved ones, those we love most, and it starts affecting their lives too and pushing them out. And then they start saying, well, why didn't you take care of your own problem? Now I got to deal with your problem. You see what I'm saying? But that's what happens in life sometimes. That's what happens with sin. You could say thorns are a type of sin. Well, there is a remedy. Before I talk about the remedy, though, I want to give us a little clearer picture of what thorns can do. I spoke earlier about degrading the value of the property. That's why I got that property in Goodman at a pretty good price. No one wanted to mess with. And I'm sure a lot of the farmers around there are seeing this young whippersnapper like me coming and buying. They're like, he don't know what he's getting into. None of us wanted that property, but I took it on. Well, it took some work. And eventually it paid off. Eventually it became a nice, pretty green yard that we kept up. And it's like no one would have ever known that that used to be nothing but a multiflora rose patch. But here's what happens. When thorns and thistles being a type of flesh or sin, if you let up on it, it can start taking over. Okay? So it's a chain of events here. Then if it starts taking over your territory, over your life, you're going to be brushing closer. You're going to be rubbing elbows, so to speak, with it. And then those briars and those thorns, it's going to start causing some pain. Like, man, I don't have much room anymore. Everywhere I turn, there's a thorn, and oh, there's a briar, and there's a thorn. And you're starting to feel boxed in. Well, brings a little heartache. And you got to work a little more, try to get some more territory, and then it just comes back and multiplies, or you kind of cut it and leave it alone, and then just boom, it's back again. And so then there's the pain and the heartache and work and back and forth, and then more trouble, more pain, degrading the value of your life. And then as your life, the value begins to drop, then there comes at times a loss of life. Maybe it's not your own physical life, but it's like your emotional life that you enjoyed peace and contentment at one time and joy. It's not there anymore. It's all covered in thorns and briars and thistles. So you've lost part of your life, so to speak. And then sometimes it may be, maybe it's financially or maybe it's physically. You've let things get out of hand, and physically you don't have much of a life left anymore. And then ultimately, we heard a story about this last night, Brother Curtis shared, about a young lady that took her life because these thorns, sin, had gotten so tight and entangled around her, she didn't know what else to do, but she took her own life. And what happens after that? That causes more pain. That causes more heartache. That causes more disruption and destruction of life, and inflicts thorns on others around them. And then it's just a snowball effect. It just continues. These briars and these thorns just going out of control until, like the state of Missouri in 1983, it was, they finally said, "This is enough. We have to get control of this." Okay? That's what can happen with sin in your life. There's a song that we've sing. We used to sing a lot as teenagers growing up. "Sin will take you further than you want to go." That's what happens with thorns and briars in your lives. Sin will take you further than you ever dreamed you would end up in this area or in this condition, and surrounded by thorns and briars and thistles, and you can't move anywhere almost, and you feel helpless. Well, that's what sin does. And there is a parable of the sower. Y'all remember the story in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let's turn and read that real quick. Matthew 13. We'll just skip down to the part that deals with the thorns. Talking about the good seed, the word of God, the truth being sown. It says, "And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." You see, that's what happens. I mentioned to you earlier, when I started trying to expand my territory again on top of the hill there, and started bush hogging back over those thorns and those briars, underneath there was dead ground almost. No green, lush grass anymore. Just dirt. Just a nasty. I'm like, there's nothing to it. It was dead under there. That good, lush ground was choked out by the thorns. Well, then it goes on and explains a little more what this is talking about. Verse 22. They're inquiring, what does this mean? So he's expounded upon this parable. He said, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heard, that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." In other words, the value just continues to drop and degrade and deteriorate until there's not much of anything of value left. It's the thorns, it's the self, the flesh, all these things are taken over. And it's like you can't hardly even breathe anymore, and it's all around. Well, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, all those things that the world out there promote. It's like they try to shove it down our throats. You open your mouth just a little bit, and they go, and they just jam all these things, these worldly things down. They ultimately destroy your life and your loved ones around you. We'll tell you a story, familiar story in the Old Testament. Remember the story of David, King David? He started out very well. God was blessing him abundantly with power and victory, and became king. God preserved him. And then there came the sin of Bathsheba. And yes, God forgave him, but it marked him. And it not only marked King David, he had a son, King, that ultimately became King Solomon, that it marked him as well. You see, there are some thorns that David allowed to grow in his life. And that's why he committed the sin with Bathsheba. But again, it didn't stop there. Later, when David passed on and King Solomon, his son, came in his stead, he started out wonderful as well. Full of power and victory and wealth and riches and all these things. But yet King Solomon had some thorns and briars in his heart as well and in his life. And maybe it started just with one or two, so to speak, women to begin with. It's no big deal. And these other nations do it and it's okay, but that's not what God was pleased with. That's not what he called his people to do. But he said, well, for benefit of the kingdom, to keep peace, I'm going to marry this other woman over here, this other nation. And then I'm going to marry this other woman over here. And it just went on and on and on till the thorns, the briars took over and started choking out. The wisest man on earth became the most foolish man. And all because of some little thorns, maybe some little seeds that his father, King David, planted there. Kind of left dormant for a while. Didn't realize they were there, but then they popped up. And he's like, oh, well, that's kind of neat, you know. And started playing around with it. And before long, he just left it unattended. Oh, that's no big. And then boom, it just kept growing and kept growing. And before long, it was out of control. And what happened? The end of Solomon, you remember that it wasn't well, was it? His enemies rose up against him. And then ultimately, his sons, they turned against the Lord. And the kingdom was divided because Solomon allowed the thorns to choke out God's law in his heart and his life. So it not only affected his household, it started affecting the whole nation. You see, that's what happens with the multiflora rose, for example. It doesn't just stop at the border of your fence and say, oh, I'm not going any further. Or the thistles, it can stop right at your border and say, nope, I'm not going across. No. They want to spread. That's exactly what they're designed to do. That's what sin does when it's left unattended. We have to go out there and attack it, so to speak, and be vicious with it. Well, how do we fix this? There's some scriptures in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to read real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. A few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Apostle Paul got a vision of what he had to do to fight against the flesh. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, he didn't want to become a hypocrite. That's what happened to King Solomon. He became a hypocrite because he didn't deal with the thorns and the briars in his own life. Just thought, it's okay. Everyone else out there is doing it in the world, all these other nations, so I'm going to do it too. And it's only going to bring peace to our nation, to our country, is it not? So in his own wisdom, he thought it was okay, but it was going against God's law. He said, do not marry women of other nations. That's what God's law said. But no, I think it'll be okay. I did this one over here and it was all right. And then this other one, and it just kept going and going, and before long, out of control. It says, I must keep under my body. Keep your body under. Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, some familiar scriptures. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Isn't that wonderful? But what is this talking about here? Mortify, that means to cut off. To dig down those roots of those thorns and those thistles. Or if you can't do that, just keep chopping them. Keep chopping. Anytime they pop up, just annihilate them. Just knock them down. Don't let them grow. Don't let them live. But if you live after the flesh, after what feels good, after what you think is okay, and after what's accepted by the world, and you live that way, it says, ye shall die. Oh, you won't die immediately, perhaps. But it may be a slow, agonizing death. That you are not even going to realize it, but those around you, they're going to start seeing you shrivel up. And all they're going to see is maybe just your head popping out with all these briars and thorns around you. Like, Where did they go? They're covered up in their own sins. Because they let loose and they just, whatever feels good, I'm going to do it. Well, but it said, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, cut those things off, ye shall live. And what's the scripture say too? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank the Lord there is life out there. But I want to tell you something. This life of sin, the people live and you see around us, it's a hard life. I want to tell you a quick little story that I was appalled at. And my boys were with me. We were in a little restaurant not too long ago. It's just me and my two boys and I. And we were eating supper there. And there was no one else in there, in the seating there, except for this one young lady and her little son. Well, I recognized her right away. I went to school with her. I couldn't remember her name, but just kind of said hi, you know. And she went on. We're ordering, and she's back there eating at the table with her little son. And in starts this conversation on the phone. She's on the cell phone. And she just starts ranting and raving and yelling and talking loud. I'm going, wow. And then she quieted down. Everything was kind of fine. I'm like, okay, maybe it'll be okay. We'll go ahead and stay in here and eat. But we go to the other corner so we can have a little bit of peace and quiet. But it kind of echoed in there. And we're halfway through the meal and she starts in again. It's her ex-husband she's talking to. And she's talking about this, her girl that she had with this ex-husband. And this girl's back and forth with the parents there. And she has a little cell phone and she's not been answering the phone. So she's calling her ex-husband and chewing him out. And calling him all kinds of names and just getting irate. And then starts going off on all these other things. Well, you don't care about me and you don't care about that. And on and on and on. I'm thinking, oh my. Then my boys, you know, they got their attention. Like, I'm like, yeah, I actually went to school with her. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, she looks like she's 45. Let me tell you something. That's what sin does to a physical body. It will age you. It not only deteriorates your mind and your spirit, but it deteriorates you physically to where you age. And when I told my boys, they're like, no way, they didn't believe that. And there's been others I've seen in town too, I went to school with, and some that were younger than me look a lot older than me. Now I'm like, oh Lord, have mercy. That's what these thorns are doing. They're poking holes in their lives, sapping all the energy and life out of them, and destroying not only their own lives, but their children's lives. You really, there's some that I went to school with that they have children that are already like 18, and they've already gotten married, and they're fixing to get a divorce. And I'm thinking, how in the world? Where does this ever stop? I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these, I can go all the way back to their childhood. And maybe their parents didn't take care of some thorns and thistles in their lives. And planted some little seeds that lay dormant in their children's lives. And went for years. It seems like everything's fine. But it never was taken care of. And all of a sudden it pops up like, oh, what's this? Oh, well, let's see what this. And before long it starts taking over. By leaps and bounds. And they get so helpless. They get so despondent. What do I do? Well, what this lady in the restaurant was doing, she was yelling and cussing on the phone. And I was so thankful when she hung up the phone. But it didn't stop there. She wasn't saying real bad words, thankfully, or we would have left. But she started talking to her son. But it was the same tone of voice she was using on the phone to her ex-husband. And she was talking to her little son like he was an adult. She's telling all these big, bad stories. And the little son just kind of sitting there eating and kind of looking at her and kind of, you know. And she's right in his face, you know. And he doesn't know what to do with it. He's just a little four-year-old probably. And here she is dumping all these things, her load and her cares of sin, all her thorns on her own little son. I'm thinking, oh Lord, have mercy. And when I left there, we left before she did. We were ready to leave. And when we left, I walked by there and she's like, I apologize. I'm sorry for her. I'm like, it's all right, you know. I didn't say this, but like, we're gone now. It's okay. But the point was, she recognized that was not normal. That was not right. And I didn't say a word to her. But she knew there was some thorns in there pricking her. They were gouging her in this life of sin. And she didn't know what else to do but just to vomit it out on her ex-husband and on her little child. And that's why sometimes we see around us road rage. And you get in the checkout line and people get upset and they start throwing stuff around. You're like, what in the world? It's just a grocery line. But they don't know what to do with this pain, this agony in their life. And that's why sometimes you may have distant family members or friends that you get acquainted with, and it's like they just dump it all out. They're like, where'd that come from? Years of thorns and briars not being attended to. Not just letting the edges just go a little more, and before long, they don't know what else to do. Their value of life is deteriorated. There's not much left. I want to tell you something. As I mentioned earlier, there is hope. Thank the Lord. Matthew, the 11th chapter. A very familiar scripture. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus talking here. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he's saying. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Thank the Lord. And his burden, and my burden is light. Let me tell you something. The yoke of sin is heavy and full of thorns. That's the yoke of sin. Just destroys the people that this yoke of sin is burdened down on. Just destroys their lives and everyone else in their lives. Destroys them, and it's heavy. They're heavy laden. They're wore out. They're weary. They don't know where else to turn, what else to do. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon me. Upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that wonderful? That is the yoke of salvation. Jesus saying, come up here and yoke up with me. It's as if the yoke is his arm around us, saying, I'm going to help you along. You want help cutting out of these briars? Let's work on it together. It was almost like when I called this neighbor guy with the bush hog. I didn't have a tractor. I didn't have a bush hog. But I called my neighbor, and he came down, and he took care of those. He took care of the multiflora rose for me. That I had no way. I'd have to take these little snippers and go in there and, you know, snip, snip one by one. And there were thousands of them. But he came in there and cleared them all out. And when it was done, I'm like, oh wow, this looks awesome. That's what Jesus can do in your life this morning, right now. You don't have to wait 5 years from now to where all these thorns are growing all around you and you're so helpless. Jesus can come in and wipe them all out right now, taking his yoke upon you, and learn of him that it's easy. With the Lord by your side and Jesus with his arm around you, he's going to pull you through whatever you need. He's going to help you work through whatever. That's the yoke that we have, that we can be attached to the Lord Jesus this morning. And with that, that means, what's the scripture say? I can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengthens me. We can look at that mountain of multiflora rose in our life, so to speak, and say, Lord, how in the world? And Jesus is saying, I'll help you. Just take my yoke upon you. I'll help you work through that mountain. We'll chip it away. We'll blast it apart. We'll do whatever. But we're going to bust through that mountain. And we're going to make something beautiful and lush and green and productive out of your life again. That's what the life, that's what the law of the gospel is all about. It's about deliverance from sin and from flesh and from all the thorns in your life that are just poking you to death, so to speak. God has the victory and the power for you this morning. Do you believe that? Or would you rather allow it to just grow up and become just a mountain of briars and thistles and thorns? That it's not just affecting your life, but everyone else around you. And you're wondering, why? And we ask the question sometimes, why is this world falling apart? It's because the majority of them are serving themselves, are serving the master of sin, Satan. That's what's happening. They're serving the flesh, what feels good, what everyone else is doing. That's what I'm going to do. That's what happened to King Solomon. And the end of him did not end well. But I'm thankful we can be like King David and be forgiven. Given a clean slate And God said, I'll forgive that. Let's move on from there. I'll help you clean that up. And let's move on from there. That's the God we serve this morning. And that's the God I'm pointing you to this morning. If you're here and you have some thorns that you need help getting rid of, I want to point you to the one above. The Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one that came to clear up our thoughts, our minds, our ways, everything about us, to clean up our lives and make it profitable again. That's the one that can do it. Jesus, the one that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Pray for me that I be faithful.